Good morning, and welcome to the podcast service for Fordham and 8 Ash Green for Sunday the 16th of August. I'm Roy Miller, a member of the church family, and I'll be leading our service this morning with help from Martin Legood, who will bring us our Bible reading, and Jeanette, my wife, who will lead the prayers. Some of you may have noticed that in a change to the published programme, Bishop Rod Thomas's sermon planned for this week was in fact given last week. However, due to the wonders of modern technology, we can now hear the sermon previously scheduled for last week today. This does, however, mean that we will be having the same Bible reading this morning as last week. Apologies for any confusion this may have caused. Most of what you'll need for today's service is on the notice sheet available from the church website, and it would also be helpful to have a Bible available. As we begin our service, some words from Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you that we can worship you this morning, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Let's join in worship as we sing our first song, based on Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd.
He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. Trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he
for your end.
We come now to a time to confess our sins to God. The Gospel calls us to turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ. As we offer ourselves to Him in penitence and faith, we renew our confidence and trust in His mercy. And so let's pause for a few moments for reflection before we say the confession together. Let's say together. Almighty and most merciful Father, we are truly sorry for doing what we want and not what you want, and straying from your ways like lost sheep. Father, please forgive us and help us to obey you. For breaking your perfect laws in the Bible by not loving you with our whole heart, and not loving other people as ourselves. Father, please forgive us and help us to obey you. For sinning against you by what we have thought and said and done, and by the good things we have failed to do. Father, please forgive us and help us to obey you. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 and 5 says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Lord God, we thank you for the forgiveness we have through your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Martin will now bring us our Bible reading, after which we will have this morning's sermon, brought to us by Bishop Rod Thomas.
Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 43. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable.
Hello, I'm Rod Thomas, the Bishop of Maidstone, and it's very good to be with you today. In AD 303, the Emperor Diocletian issued an edict which began a period of intense persecution for the Christians living at that time. Churches were to be razed to the ground, scriptures were to be handed in to be burnt. And scared for their lives, some of the Christian leaders, the presbyters and bishops, did just that. And some went further, collaborating with what the authorities were doing. Others stood firm and faced the consequences of persecution. Years later, the situation was changed under the Emperor Constantine, and the persecuted church then faced the question, what should happen to those traitor presbyters and bishops? Should they be accepted back or not? One group, called the Donatists, said no, they shouldn't. The church was a society of saints, and it was not for them. However, Augustine took a different view. Augustine said, no, the church is for both saints and sinners. And he quoted the parable that we've looked at this morning to support his argument, the parable of the wheat and the weeds growing together. He said, it's not for us to judge, it is a matter for God. Now, in one way, using the parable that way was quite a good idea. After all, wheat and weeds, the weeds in question were probably darnel, which in its early stages of growth looks very much like wheat. And what's more, when the two grow together, the roots intertwine so that you can't pull up one without pulling up the other. On the other hand, the parable isn't really about the church at all. The parable is about the world. Jesus says that in verse 38. He says the field is the world, not the church. And the issue the parable is addressing is this. How can you talk about the kingdom of heaven being established when there is so much evil present in the world? And the answer that Jesus gives is that God allows evil to flourish purely so that the number of those in the kingdom can continue to grow. Dealing with evil, as Jesus makes clear in the verses that follow, verse 39, will be a final and decisive act. But God doesn't want to act in that way prematurely, because doing so would deny the kingdom to many. And it is important for us today to grasp this truth, if we're going to retain our faith in Jesus Christ as the Lord and the ruler of all, the one who is the King in the kingdom of heaven, in the face of all the evil that we see in the world around us. So let's look at three important points that emerge from this parable. The first is this: the kingdom is growing. The kingdom is growing. Now, in the parable, the farmer sows the good seed, which, in verse 26, comes up and bears grain. Although the weeds are also coming up, in verse 30, the farmer says, let both grow together until the harvest. And later, Jesus explains that he is the farmer, and the seed which turns into good plants are the sons of the kingdom. Those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. Christians, in other words. So in a world where there is much evil, God puts up with it in order to ensure that there is growth among the sons of the kingdom. In other words, growth in the number of Christians. And he doesn't bring things to a premature end by doing the weeding at the growth stage. Well, it's great, isn't it? that God didn't come in judgment in the 1960s. Because if he had, 100 million Chinese people would have been excluded from the kingdom. In this country, in our own country, despite some considerable growth in evangelical churches, we tend to be rather depressed about church statistics and church attendance in particular. But worldwide, there is enormous growth. To take another example, it's estimated that there were 10 million Christians in Africa in 1900, but 100 years later, by the year 2000, that 10 million had grown to 360 million. And it's estimated that by 2025, there could be 633 million. Now, I don't want to play around and try and prove things by statistics, but it is clear that we are part of something that is dynamic and growing, the result of which will only be seen at the end of history. Now, if the reason God delays judgment is simply so that more people can enter the kingdom, then it's clear that one of the primary purposes of our lives here and now is to pass the message of Jesus Christ's rule on to others. As Lee was pointing out last week from the parable of the sower and the seeds, the different types of reception that Jesus' word gets amongst people, it can seem so often as if the endeavour to pass Jesus' word on simply ends in failure. But the point is that where the message is received, well, the result can spread to many others, and it does. So we mustn't lose heart because so many aren't attracted by Christ. The kingdom is growing, and it will continue to do so until the harvest. Now, secondly, whilst the kingdom is growing, secondly, the effect of enemy action is growing. The effect of enemy action is growing. It's often said we live in an instant society. I once saw a baby's bib, on the front of which there was a picture of a baby screaming, and then underneath were the words, "I don't know what I want, but I want it now." Well, we all want instant results, don't we? We invest money and want immediate returns. Maybe during lockdown you decided to do something about the garden and but are frustrated by how long it takes for plants to grow so that you can see the results. Even in the Christian life, we want instant results, don't we? If we think that if we're in a relationship with God, as we are, and that we're given his Holy Spirit, that various things ought to be happening. We ought to be triumphant over every temptation. We ought not to have to face the ill health that others do. We should be able to pray for immediate miraculous healing and so on. In other words, we want the full benefits of heaven now. And when the relationships don't go right and other things go wrong in our lives, we can sometimes wonder what it all amounts to. Sometimes, indeed, we can fall into temptation. And then we wonder whether the Holy Spirit is really working in our lives at all. And if we move from the individual level to the level of society, well, within society, we see injustices. We see crime, we see the disintegration of married family life, and we long for the gospel to have more impact. It just seems as though the weeds are growing more and more, which of course they are. The whole point of this parable is to say that this will happen so that we don't lose heart and we ourselves don't get so dispirited that we might even start condoning sin, you know, the thinking, well, these sorts of behaviours are so widespread, perhaps they're not that wrong after all, as though God's standards had suddenly changed in the light of events. The fact is that no matter how much the kingdom grows, whether it's in our own personal attachment to Christ and that of others as they receive his word, evil is present all the time. No matter how widespread church attendance is in society, evil is present all the time. So we mustn't get impatient with the speed or the spread of growth, or resentful of the way in which God chooses to work. Because the effect of enemy action, we're told, is growing. Now, thirdly and finally, the removal of evil will be decisive. So often we think to ourselves, why doesn't God do something about this? We might even say, does God care about what we're all having to face here? Well, if we're ever tempted to say or think that, then have another look at verses 39 to 43. Because when God does deal with it, it will be final, it will be decisive. And one day he will, after which there will be no more opportunity for people to turn to Jesus Christ in repentance and in faith. So as we seek to apply this parable to ourselves, let's remember that the presence of evil around us shouldn't cause us to think that God's somehow not in control. No, he's definitely the owner of the field, and he's definitely going to bring a harvest about. The presence of evil shouldn't cause us to think God doesn't care. Oh, he cares very much, and he's going to ensure that everything that the righteous, those who've trusted in Jesus Christ and gained their righteousness from him, everything that they've looked forward to is going to be vastly exceeded. The last verse of our reading today. We can be confident about these things. We can be confident, of course, because of all that Jesus Christ achieved. He showed the love of God and the justice of God when he died to take the punishment for our sins, but he did it on our behalf so that we shouldn't have to face that terrible penalty. There is his love. And he rose again from death to show that anybody who's linked with him, who's put their trust in him, can look forward to a wonderful time with the Lord forever. And in that confidence, therefore, let's go about our business of sharing Christ with others, confident that God continues to grow his kingdom while we do that. Amen.
Well, we've just heard how God will bring a harvest of those who trust in him. So let's join together now to affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our second song is a modern version of a traditional hymn that reminds us that our security lies in Jesus and his love for us.
There are wings of reaching sea, in the fire and flood, we stand redeemed through the storms of life. You will not let go. This our confidence that our anchor holds. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fasten to the rock.
Jeanette will now lead us in our prayers.
We begin our intercessions by saying the Collect Prayer together. This can be found on page 2 of the notice sheet. And I'll give you a moment to find that and just read it through. So we say together, let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions, make them to ask such things as shall please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We continue in prayer. Lord, as we look at our world, we see so much that is not of you. Sickness, refugees, destruction, corruption, and unrest. And our hearts eagerly await the day when all this will cease, wrongs will be righted, because Jesus has come again. Please give us patience. And help us to keep trusting in you, relying on your faithfulness and unchanging love. Thank you that you, Lord, do not change, and therefore we are not consumed. We pray for those affected by the explosion in Beirut. Will you comfort the bereaved, heal those injured, and help those rebuilding their lives. May they turn to you in their need and find your grace to help them. We bring to you the unrest after the elections in Belarus. We know that many people are feeling angry, and we pray for a resolution to this situation. We ask for those seeking asylum and risking their lives to cross the channel. Please give the authorities wisdom as to how to deal with this human suffering, and give us compassion for those in need. We pray for our own country at this time of COVID pandemic, and we ask for Boris Johnson and our government as they continue to lead us out of the lockdown. And we pray for wisdom, especially regarding exam results and the reopening of schools. We pray for safety for children, staff and teachers, especially in Scotland. And as we look ahead to September, we pray for our own 2 parish schools, and ask for rest and relaxation for the staff, and for good preparation for the start of the new term. We bring to you too the recent train crash in Scotland, and again we pray that you will comfort the bereaved and heal those injured. Thank you for our church family, whether we meet physically or over the internet. May no one feel neglected, isolated, or forgotten, but help us still to love each other in purposeful and practical ways. And we think of the Durlackers, and we pray especially for Michael, that you will give him a speedy recovery. And now we take a moment to remember anyone else who is on our heart. We thank you for Francis, our rector, and we pray as he returns to work after his holiday for renewed enthusiasm and vision for your work here at Fordham and 8 Ash Green. We pray for your provision for a children's and youth worker. May we be able to raise the necessary finances so that your work here may go from strength to strength and many may be reached for Christ. Lord Jesus, please help us through this coming week. May we be those who bear good fruit. Would you please help us to live our lives pleasing to you? And we ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The notices this week are, as usual, printed on the notice sheet. Please do take a few minutes to read them. And as in previous weeks, we look forward to meeting up at 11:30 this Sunday morning for virtual coffee. As we close our service, some words from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that as we trust in you as our Lord and Saviour, you are there as our strength and our guide today and each day of our lives, and that ultimately we can look forward to spending eternity with you in heaven. Amen.